Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see each of you. You look like you're alive and well, at least that I can see your faces that are shining. That's good. And I'm sure the rest of you that are not on the screen, I'm sure you're looking great too. So good to be able to be with you folk. Let's do our normal deal. Let's stretch just a minute. That's it. Get all your kinks out. That'll help your spirit to get a little loose here. So most important thing, let's take a minute. Let's talk to the good Lord here as we open His Word. Lord, we just thank You for a brand new day. And we thank You, Lord, for Your presence and for Your goodness and for Your kindness, Lord. And Lord, we just open our hearts. Holy Spirit, would You be the teacher? Would You take the Word of God and breathe on it, make it alive, make it living? And I just pray You'd apply it individually, Lord, in the way each of us need to hear it, that it would make a difference in our everyday life. So we thank You, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you heard a little bird there, when Kathy and I went to Switzerland, we got a cuckoo clock. And I was going to kind of shut that down, but I forgot. So that's the little noise you heard in the background there. Okay, Psalm 61. It's short, but it's powerful. It's a psalm of David. And here he goes. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to Thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in Thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of Thy wings. For Thou hast heard my vows, O God. Thou hast given me the inheritance of those who fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth, that they may preserve him. So I will sing praise to Thy name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. Okay. When you're looking at this psalm, it strikes me, number one, that I'm sure everybody on the screen has had some bad days. That's a given. If you've lived any amount of time, you've experienced some trials, some hardship, some tribulation, some pain, you know, all those adjectives. And when we look at this psalm, David is experiencing one of those days, one of those rough days. So believe me, he can identify with us and we can identify with him. Humanity is humanity. They had hard times back then in the Old Testament. They had hard times in the New. And there's hard times in our present day. And here we encounter David on a hard day. Things are going haywire. He's beginning to feel overwhelmed by problems. And what's he do? So I think he gives us a model for you and I to know how to process the hard times that collide in our lives. And I just trust that as we work through this psalm, That whatever you're working through in your life, who knows what it is today? I'm sure there's some form of an issue that's unresolved in your life. I'm trusting that as we go through this psalm, it's going to help you to unpack what's going on in your life and process it in a positive way. So David's having a bad day. So what's the most important thing to do when you're having a bad day? And I think David tells us right off the bat, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off the problem. And that's a challenge for us. When we encounter hard times, the problem just seems to get bigger and bigger, and we think about it more, and we negative meditate on the problem, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Till sometimes it can be a gigantic Goliath that just intimidates us and threatens us. So I think David says right off the bat, when you encounter the hard time, get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on God. Let me say it again. Wherever you are today, whatever you're struggling with, get your eyes off of you and off the problem. And basically, I think David would say, don't just look to God, talk to him. Talk to him. Look at Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So David says, my heart is fainting. It's just like if you've ever felt like you're going to faint, it's not a good feeling. You just kind of feel woozy, like I'm going to pass out. And I think David's saying, life is just wearing me out. I'm just washed out. It's like there's just way too much that's coming against me. So David says, number one, get your eyes off you, get your eyes on the Lord. Talk to him. If you look, I love the Psalms. They're so real. They're not just these pleasant, prayers that we can recite that sound nice and pretty. Oh, thou God, blah, blah, and you go through all this stuff. No, I believe prayer is honestly with God. And you read the Psalms. You read the Psalms today. They are real. When David's happy, you know it. When David is upset, you know it. When David is afraid, he acknowledges it. When David is having a good day, give thanks, praise the Lord. So I think we need to be very real with God. We don't have to pretend. Why pretend? He knows what's going on and he's anyway. So if we present a facade, like everything's fine, I think I could basically say, like, knock it off. Let's just be real. And David starts the psalm off, and he's extremely real and he is extremely honest with God. God, I need help. And my heart feels like I'm going to faint. Okay. But then I think what he does, not only does he remember to turn his eyes to God, not only does he talk to God, he remembers who God is. Okay, hear that. David remembered who God is. He's talking to the creator of the universe. Talking to the creator who made the heavens and who made the earth. He's talking to a very, very, very big God that's bigger than any problem he's going to encounter. And by the way, that holds true for us. The God we're dealing with, that we're talking to, is bigger than whatever problem you're facing today. I don't know what it is, but God is bigger. And it's interesting. I like what David does. He says here, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. To the rock that's higher than I think David is saying, man, I need something a lot higher than me. I can't fix my problem. I can't get myself out of the mess I'm in. I don't have the resources to get myself out of the situation in which I find myself. And I hear David just crying out, God, lead me to something higher than me. I need something bigger, something better than what I have to offer. So he's just saying, oh God, you are so big. Lead me out of me because I can't deal with this issue. You have to deal with it. And then I like the way he refers to God. He says to me, lead me to the rock. He refers to God as a rock. Interesting. God's referred to as a rock. Let me give you a couple scriptures on that. Basically, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, David says this: the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And I want you to note, he didn't say that in an impersonal sense. He didn't say God's a rock or God's a fortress or God's a deliverer. He said, no, he's my rock. So important. If you want to trust the Lord, if you want to grow in your journey with the Lord, it's not a generic God. It's a God that we know personally. He is my rock. Think of Psalm 23. David didn't say, the Lord is a shepherd, I shall not want. What did he say? The Lord is what? My shepherd. He built a rapport. He built a relationship. He fellowshiped with God. God was not just a theoretical thing in his brain. God was not some kind of theological abstract thing. God to him was a real person. And he had built a relationship. How do you build a relationship with a person on the earth? You do it by a mutual exchange of feelings and thoughts. If you really want to get to know somebody, you have to be able to share who you really are, your thoughts, your feelings, and the other person has to do the same thing reciprocally. Okay, here's who I am, here's how I feel. And as you do that over a period of time, a stranger becomes a friend, a confidant, someone that you've built a rapport and a relationship with. So this whole deal falls apart if God is just some abstract God up there, if he's just a generic God, it's not going to work. We've got to build the relationship. We've got to talk to God, not just in our early devotions in the morning. We need to bring him into all day, where throughout the day we're interacting with the Lord, whether it's petitioning him for a need we have, or praying for somebody else, or just saying, Lord, you're worthy of my praise. Lord, thank you for what you've done. I've been reading a book by Brother Lawrence, which is an old book, very powerful book if you ever want to get it. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. That's what Brother Lawrence did. All day long, he practiced the presence that God was with him. And he related to God as if God was his best friend walking with him all day long. Whether as a person in a monastery, whether he was in the kitchen doing stuff, or whether he was at prayer, he said, it didn't matter. I just talked to God all day long. So, let me just emphasize, it's just not, God is not a rock. He is my rock. He's my shepherd. He's my fortress. David knew that, not just in his head, but in his heart. Another verse, Psalm 28:1. David cries out, to you, I cry, my rock, do not be deaf to me. Again, he cries out to God as my rock. Okay? Let me give you another one. This is 2 Samuel chapter 22, 32. I like what David says here. Listen to this. For who is a rock except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? I like David, what he just saying here, man, like, who else can be that rock? Who else can give that solid foundation? Who else can give the security? David said, there's no other God like that. He's just saying, there's only the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, that can be that rock that can give you stability in the hard times. There's only one rock. That's the living God, according to David. Now, when you think about rocks, Kathy and I have had a privilege to do some traveling. The other summer, we went out to Yosemite National Park. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. Okay, Mary Lou, I see it. It's mind-blowing. And there's two gigantic rocks there. One is called El Capitan, and the other one's Half Dome. These are gigantic pieces of rock. And when you see them, it's like, whoa, there's no way. There's no way they're going to move. And Kathy and I have been privileged recently to be able to go to Switzerland. And if you go there and look at the Alps, they are gigantic from what we can see. According to Google, the Alps are bigger than the Rockies. And when you see these mountains, they're just majestically big. And when I think of the mountains, I think of what he says, the rock. When I think of a rock, a big mountain, I think of something big, something solid, something strong, something that is immovable, unchangeable. It's always the same. Now you think about life. Life changes all over the place. There's change of your circumstances change all the time, right? I mean, who knows? Good circumstances today, hard circumstances. They're out of our control. They just plain happen. But they're changeable. The weather, it was gorgeous yesterday. Absolutely beautiful. But I think today somebody said, I think maybe it's going to become colder or rainy. The weather changes on a dime. People change, right? You think people would always be consistent, not always. They're not a rock. Sometimes they change. And what about us? We're changeable. What about our moods? You can wake up one day and man, you are happy and you're glad. It's a good day and you're smiling, and you can wake up another day and like life is dull, flat, and gray. Everything, get this, everything in this universe, everything changes. There's only one thing that does not change. That's God. He's the only unchangeable thing in the universe. He is a rock. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He is always the same. And thank God for that, because if God was changeable, everything falls apart. Because one day David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, but what if God changes? 2 days down the road, he's no longer a shepherd. Well, everything falls apart because you never know where you stand. So the characteristic of God that they say is immutable is essential, because if God changes, then he's like us and he's moody, and that kind of gets you back to the gods of Rome and Greece. They kind of had capricious anger fits, and you never knew where you stood with them. So God is a rock, and that means his characteristics are the same. His love is always the same, never changes. His love is always unconditional. It's always sacrificial. It's always kind and tender. When you think of some of his characteristics, God is good. Remember the old statement that people used to say, the pastor would say, God's good. And what's all the people say in the congregation? God is good all the time. All the time, what? God is good. He doesn't change. He's always good. He's always sovereign, meaning he calls the shots. He's always in control. He's always wise. He's always powerful. He's always gracious, and I could just go through a list. He's always holy, and he's a rock. He does not change. And he is the only sound foundation upon which to build your life. So I'll just throw out a question, like, what is your solid foundation? What are you counting on to give you stability and security in this life? If it's other people, it's not solid enough. If it's you, it's not solid enough. If it's your circumstances and all the money in the bank, well, that can go down the tubes. That's not enough. If it's even another human being, I remember very vividly a funeral I did. The fellow was not a believer. Literally, his God was his wife. He loved his wife, which is a beautiful thing. But I remember very vividly that as we were lowering the coffin into the ground, and then you hear the top go on the vault, and you just hear, he broke in half and basically said, I've got nothing to live for. His rock was his wife, but it was a false foundation because guess what? When she died, his whole foundation fell apart. So I would just have you think very carefully, what is your life built on? What is your foundation? What is your security? What is your stability? If it's not God, then everything else can collapse like a house of cards. So make sure your house is built on the rock. And it's interesting. David goes a little bit further on that rock idea. Psalm 62, verse 6, he said, He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I like what David said. He only is my rock. There's no other rock. He alone is my foundation, and God's going to get me through. And I like what he said, I shall not be shaken. That's a statement of faith. He says, because my feet are anchored on the rock, because my feet are anchored in the character of God, no matter what life throws at me, I'm not going to be shaken. Will I feel some I'm sure emotional reaction. Even Jesus felt emotional action in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat blood. We may feel emotionally shaken at times, but I think what David means that deep down, we're not going to cave in. Our faith will sustain us. So, number one, David says, look to the Lord. Remember who he is. Remember he is a rock. But he goes on a little bit further here. Verse 3, for thou hast been a refuge for me. Thou hast been a refuge for me. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's a refuge? So I looked up in the dictionary. Here's a refuge. A personal place, person, or concept that provides shelter, safety, comfort, and relief from danger or anxiety. So what I hear David saying here when he says, God, I'm running to you as a refuge, the way I see him is almost the way I see a little child that gets spooked out. I think of like a little kid in a bedroom, and lightning starts crashing down, and thunder's all over the place, and the little kid runs quickly out of the bedroom, runs into the parent, and goes into the bed. They're running to the parent for what? Refuge, for comfort, for shelter. Basically, they're seeking relief from danger. So I think a refuge is almost like a little child said, like, take me up, hold me tight. Don't let me go. I need security. I need your help. And basically, I think that's what David was saying when he says, you're my refuge. I mean, David was running. You read the story of his life. He had to run, 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 run because number one, Saul, the king, was out to kill him. And then not only that, his son Absalom turned on him. So David is a hunted person. And if you can imagine what that would feel like, I guess the only modern day thing I can get a handle on that would be almost like, there's the mafia. And if you mess with them, they can send a hitman to come and take you out. And it would be that feeling of, man, somebody, watch, I got to turn around. I mean, somebody's going to come get me. I need a refuge. I need to be able to run to someone that's going to put their arms around me and protect me. David says, God, he's my rock. He says, he's my refuge. And then he goes on a little bit further. He says, three, for thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. When I see the tower of strength, I almost get a picture. Back in the medieval days, there's this big, strong castle tower, and you see like this drawbridge over a moat. And I can almost get a picture of somebody that's being chased by the enemy, and they're running hard and hard, and they're ahead, and they run over the drawbridge, and they get in the castle, and they roll up the drawbridge, and now I'm safe, I'm protected, and I think that's the picture. I think that David's saying, God, be that tower, that place where I can run, where I know there's walls around me, where I know I can be protected, and I know when he's saying here the enemy. The enemy, for David was people were after him, Saul, Absalom. The enemy, for us can be the evil one, Satan, trying to, Pastor Brennan was talking about that, lead us not into temptation. He can be trying to attack us. And many times, instead of fighting the enemy, instead of fighting Satan, just run to Jesus. I like there's a story. Little kid is in a room, and scared, and basically doesn't know what to do, and is afraid to open the door. And the person inside is wiser, and instead of fighting Satan, they just said to the little boy, just let Jesus answer the door. When Jesus answers the door, Satan flees. But I hear David saying, man, I need somebody to protect me from the evil one, from Satan, from people that are pursuing me. And you may feel like, my enemies are not physical enemies. The enemies I'm fighting, it could be anything. It could be the problems of some kind of a financial crunch. It could be some kind of a relationship issue. It could be a health issue. Whatever the enemy is that's chasing you down, I think that basically David's saying, boy, when the enemy's on you, when problems are coming at you, go to God. He's your refuge. He's your strong tower. He is the one that's there for you. And he goes on a little bit further. I love all these adjectives of God. He's a rock. He's a refuge. He's a tower of strength. And then he says, let me dwell in thy tent forever. And you might say, oh, okay, well, what's the tent? Well, I believe the tent he's talking about is the tabernacle, where the Jewish nation worshiped God, where God dwelt in a tent. He dwelt in a tabernacle. And I think that I hear David says, God, let me run into the middle of your tabernacle where you dwell. Some beautiful statements about that, about the tent. Psalm 91:1, it says this, who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shadow, in the shelter. Another great verse is Psalm 27:4. David again speaks. He says this, one thing I've asked from the Lord, and that I'll seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I hear David say, man, I'm going to run for your presence, Lord. Because God's presence for the Jewish people, that God's presence was right there in the tabernacle, particularly represented by the Holy of Holies. So in the hard time, I hear David say, man, I got to get into your presence, God. I got to get close to you. And I love what he says. He didn't just say, God, I just want to pay a visit to the tent. I just want to pay a visit to the tabernacle. He says, let me dwell there. God, I just want to stay with you. I don't want to step outside of you, because if I step outside of you, I'm fighting the battle on my own. No, he said, no, I want to dwell. I want to dwell with you, Lord. I want to stay in that refuge. I want to be in that tower of strength. I'm going to stay close to the Lord. And then he goes and gives this last picture, which is a beautiful picture. He says, let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. Let me stay under the shelter of thy wings. Here's a picture, Psalm 91, verse 4. Here it's referring to God. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may find refuge. So, what's the picture? The picture is a mother hen, right? And if the mother hen is there, and the little chicks are outside, and something threatens them, who knows what it could be? It could be a storm, it could be some kind of a predator. What's the instinct of the little chicks? The instinct is get close to mama. And mama's right there because in the hard time, mama lifts up her wings, right? And when mama lifts up her wings, the little chicks run, and then she puts her wings down, and like she is protecting them, she's covering them. And what a picture for us, that when we're going through hard times, like God's portraying himself in a sense like a mother hen saying, hey, not that God has feathers, it's a picture. God's trying to get a point across. He's saying, hey, I'm right here. I'm your shelter. I'm willing to let you come under me, as Psalm 91, come under the shadow of my wings. Get close to me. Get close to me. Stay close to me. I like what somebody said. Satan is allergic to God. Satan, the closer we are to the Lord, Satan can't touch us, because he just can't get that close to God. He's repelled by the presence of the Lord. So David knows in the hard time, and whatever the hard time you're experiencing, like run to the Lord. He's your refuge. Get underneath his wings. Don't just pay a visit under his wings. Stay there. Learn to live under his wings. Learn to live under his covering. A beautiful statement in the New Testament on that idea of the hen. This is Matthew 23, 37. Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry, and he makes this interesting statement. Listen to this. He's approaching the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. He says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. And I can almost see tears coming down Jesus' eyes saying, I wanted a relationship with you, Israel. I wanted a relationship with you, Jewish leaders that are rejecting me. I wanted to lift up my wings. I wanted to bring you close. I wanted to be your refuge. I wanted to be your strength. I wanted to be your refuge. I wanted to be all these things. And Jesus said, but you were unwilling. God is not going to force us. to do anything. He gave his free will. It's a heavy duty gift. And I think the Lord is saying to us today, any one of us, he says, look, when you're going through the ringer and you have pain and you have heartache and you have problems and they're banging at the door, get your eyes off the problems. I hear that Jesus is very clear. Get your eyes off the problems. Come run under my wings. Get close to me. Know I'm that hen that wants to protect you. Know that I'm the shepherd that wants to meet your needs, that wants to guide you, lead you, and take care of you. I think David drives that point home. So let me just begin to wrap up here just with a thought. With God being our source of comfort, strength, and security, does that mean we're always going to be protected from problems? And I think the answer is many times, yes. Many times God protects us from things that could harm us or even kill us. But sometimes God allows us to go through the problems and doesn't, quote unquote, protect us from them. I know there's stories over the centuries of missionaries that have felt led to bring the gospel to foreign lands where it's very, very dangerous. And I believe as they went, they, I'm sure, probably prayed, God, protect us, protect us. But we have stories like Jim Elliot, who was led to go to Ecuador and with some of his buddies. And I'm sure they were asking God's blessing and protection. And guess what? They were martyred. They were killed. An amazing story if you ever want to read anything about Jim Elliot. Even though he was killed, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, took up his ministry and went to the people that killed her husband. And many of them came to the Lord. Amazing ministry. God brought good, but God did not, in a sense, protect Jim Elliot. He was martyred. But I would say this, that God is going to protect you till you finish your life work if you're walking with him. Okay, I think God's going to protect you. I think God will allow us to stay on the earth till we finish our mission if we're not stupid. Illustration, God may want you to have a long life, but if you're going to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, guess what? You may shorten your life. That's not God's plan. It's just our foolishness. But I believe God wants to keep us safe to finish whatever the call is on our life. And I'd say this too, beginning to wrap up here. God may allow problems, as I said, for whatever reason he knows. Many cases, they don't hit us at all in the beginning. Some cases we pray they're removed, and in other times, there may be a situation that God never removes the problem. And that's where we hear Paul in the New Testament. Paul gets a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows what the thorn in the flesh is for sure. I personally believe it was the Jewish believers that harassed him wherever he went, and they were a thorn in his side. Other people think it was a physical illness. We don't know for sure. Maybe God left it as obscure just so that we can all identify with something that just doesn't go away. But I can assure you this, if God does not remove the problem, God will surely give you the grace to deal with it. And not only the grace to deal with it, but to allow good to come out of it. Paul said this, he responded, God, I'm going to trust you. Why? Because God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is perfected in weakness. So I don't know what you're facing as we wrap up. I don't know what the struggle, what the hard time The pain financially with some person that's you're estranged from, some health issue that you've battled. First, get your eyes off of yourself, off of your problem. Get your eyes on the Lord. Begin to be honest with Him. Tell Him what's on your heart. Be real. I'd say worship. Begin to worship Him for who He is. And right here, you have plenty of things to worship Him for. Thank you, Lord. You're a rock, Lord. Thank you. You're a refuge. You're a strong tower, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a tent, a tabernacle. Thank you. You're a hand that protects me. And just keep worshiping how big He is. The more you see God, the more you worship, the bigger God is, the smaller your problem becomes. And as that perspective comes, I think we just have that tremendous security that being in God's presence becomes our ultimate security, our ultimate foundation that gives us stability, that gives us security, that gives us strength, that gives us peace, you name it. So get as close to the Lord as you can. Don't just visit under His wings. Don't just visit the tent. Don't just step in and out of the strong tower. Stay there. Learn to live there. That's where the blessing is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Psalm 61. Lord, what an amazing psalm where you give us pictures. Lord, pictures stay with us sometime better than words. Lord, I just pray those pictures would be indelibly imprinted in us after our study. Lord, when we see a rock, help it to remind us, Lord, that you are that ultimate rock. Lord, when we're struggling, Lord, help us like a little child run to our parents, jump in the bed. Let us run to you, Lord, as a refuge, as a strong tower. Help us to run under your wings, Lord. Help us to get close. And Lord, we just thank you. The closer we are with you, the greater will be our peace. The greater will be our joy. The greater will be our hope. And the stronger our faith. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on each of my brothers and sisters. Lord, wherever they're hurting, wherever they're struggling, wherever the need is, we pray, Lord, you'd fill that with you because you are the ultimate supplier of all things. And we just thank you, Jesus, and we pray it in your strong name. Amen. Amen. God bless, folks. Have a great day. See you soon.